today on Real Radio.
Bible prophecy should cause you to become a believer right now. You can't prove the existence of God. Yes, you can. You literally can. Prophecy proves the existence of God. Well, it's very vague. You have not read the Bible. So detailed, people, when you give them the details, they say, that just can't be true.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. His prophecies also extend far into the future when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 46, we learned that there are some things that are impossible for us to pull off. But nothing is impossible for God. He has the answer for things that seem impossible in our lives. God is always with us. We can trust Him to keep us in His care. Even when we feel things are hopeless, He promises to take us through to the end. So today, on day 3 of chapter 46, Pastor Jack asks, can an idol tell you the future? When we lean on our own understanding or anything other than God, it may look like there's no hope in the world. But God is on the move. He will perform all that's impossible. His pleasure is to reveal His love toward us by giving us a future and a hope. And now, continuing his lesson called Things That Are Impossible, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The next time somebody says, I don't believe in God, ask them the question that every four-year-old knows to ask. It's the greatest question you can ask. Any of you in school, college, right now, anywhere? Do you want to fail your class? Here's how you flunk your class. Whenever the professor or the teacher makes a claim, ask them, why is that true? You're not allowed to think like that in America. You can't do that anymore. They've been given the script. They'll only tell you what they've been told. And critical thinking is out the door. Next time a teacher makes a claim, you've got to say, excuse me, why is that true? I'd love to know why that's true. They'll flunk you. But God will just go, yes! Because look, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. Watch what happens to them. But became futile in their thoughts. This is the judgment. They become futile, worthless in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, by the way, the more dark their hearts get, the more wise they think they are. It's really remarkable. They become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That is incredible. That is powerful. I want to read this to you. It's long. Hang in there with me. We'll end on time. Just listen up. Maybe it's on the screen. I'm not sure. This is by a great scholar, R. Kent Hughes. I love his writings. He's fun to read. Creation reveals the existence of God who presides in majestic, transcendent, sustaining power. It also reveals the infinite distance between us, the creatures, and Him, the Creator. For what may be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. The word plain means manifest. This is not a secret, covert revelation. There is no need for a Diogenes with his lamp. You do not have to be an intellectual. All can understand as much as they need to know. They are without excuse. Atheist Bernard Russell who dismisses the existence of God is without excuse, and so is the cabbie who has never read a book in his life. The truth is, it takes a concerted act of the will to deny what a vastly powerful God made and sustains his creation. If one, listen to this, if one is not at least searching after God, he or she is suppressing the truth. The first distinctive of the anatomy of unbelief, then, is the suppression of the truth. Church, do we not live in an age that is suppressing truth? Wow. The second is a perversion of the truth. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give to him thanks, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. Kent Hughes goes on. From this we learn how the perversion of idolatry initially came about. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Meaning there was a time when idol worshipers saw God as majestic, transcendent and all-powerful, infinitely greater than themselves. However, they understood this, they chose to not honor him, but instead worshiped images like themselves. They refused to worship God for who he is and went about to reduce him to their own level through idolatry. They minimized, redefined, rationalized the vast chasm between the creature and the creator. This resulted in a progressively degenerating idolatry, or reducing God from his rightful place in creation. He quotes the Bible again. Their foolish hearts were darkened. This is significant because heart is a comprehensive term for all of man's faculties. Not only was their moral judgment darkened, but their intellect and reasoning powers suffered also. The magnificent idea of God, as revealed in nature, was lost to them. The tragedy of idolatry is that it falls infinitely short of giving us worshipers any idea of what God is really like. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. The root word for fools is the same word from which we derive our word moron. This is an ugly term that refers not so much to one's intellect as to his or her moral condition. This reality portrays the progressive degeneration that the perversion of idolatry brings. First, they worshiped an image of man, second, birds, then quadrupeds, and eventually or ultimately reptiles, crawling things. You can't go any lower than this, says R. Kent Hughes. What an awesome description of our modern day educated culture. We have education like no culture's ever had before, and yet we accomplish less. Nothing new in science has been discovered without going back to the ancient building blocks or the old building blocks of those original great scientists. Think about it. We've got all this technology, but there's no real new revelation. We've got all this stuff at our fingertips, but listen, we're not any wiser. We're making terrible decisions. We've elevated ourselves. I'm not saying you. Everybody outside this tent has elevated themselves above everybody else, and now we have judges that sit across our land as though they were gods. We've got people in positions that look down upon us, who put them in power, as we are the ones that are a bumbling bunch of fools, and yet we have given them the power to insult us. We've made gods. We've made gods of government. We have a generation of people looking to government to be their supplier, looking to government to be their God. Feed me, transport me, educate me. Think about it. It's like we're lemmings standing before these plastic or paper mache idols. And we're looking at, you know, what's the cartoon? Was it Toy Story where those little space creatures were The claw. Remember the thing you put the quarter in, the claw drops in, it pulls up the little thing and puts it in the dispenser. And there's all these little aliens are there. And And the humans, they're pressing the button and the claw goes out and drops. And they're worth the claw, they're worshiping this thing. And that's how humanity's become. And you mention God, you're in trouble. If you mention God, the God of heaven and earth, you're the knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. Isn't it amazing? I love this stuff. Number three, we're almost done. We're actually going to finish. You watch and see. Things that are impossible, verses 8 through 10, is that the God of the Bible knows what's next. God says, and I love it, Marcus. God says, challenging the Israelites, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old. I love when God talks. God is saying, stand up and stop babbling, you bunch of whiners, and be a man. I'm gonna let you in on something. All you have to do, God is saying, is remember the past. Asking yourself this question, is there evidence that God was involved in the past? Oh my goodness. Remember the former things of old. That's a challenge. Have you noticed this? Somebody a long time ago said, it's very cool, history. You know, when you went to school, I don't know. Did you like history when you went to school? I found out that history, if you liked it in school or not, was all connected to your teacher. If you had a great teacher in history, you loved it. But you know, somebody a long time ago said, history is his story. And you know, that's true. You look at the history of the world, good, bad, and ugly. It's God saying, watch this. This is what happens to a culture that puts me first. This is what happens to a culture that doesn't consider me at all. This is what happens to a culture that rejects me. History. It's amazing. Look at verse 9. For I am God, there's no other. The God of the Bible is prophetic. I am God, there's none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. This is the prophetic God. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. God says, I'm going to tell you the future in advance. Have an idol do that. You know what's fun about that? See this book? You get any other religious book that's ever been written in the history of mankind, and you go Bible to book, bring it up, Bible to book, and all of the other books, you know what they do? All of the other books have to bow down. They have to bow down. For many reasons, but the greatest reason, according to God, is line up the books. Line up the Book of Mormon. Line up the writings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Get the Quran out here. Get the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Get all of the writings of the gods of India. And get all the Buddhas lined up. Get all of this. And see if one of them will tell you something about the future and have it come to pass in advance. God of the Bible. Bible prophecy should cause you to become a believer right now. You can't prove the existence of God. Yes, you can. You literally can. Prophecy proves the existence of God. Well, it's very vague. You have not read the Bible. So detailed, people, when you give them the details, they say, that just can't be true. Remarkable. God says, remember. All we have to do is stop. Listen. Some of us need to stop tonight and remember what God did for us or spoke to us in the past and we have forgotten. Listen, God might have said something to you in the past that you need to go back and remember. Now, I don't encourage people to go back to their past, but you know what? We can go back to the past if we are careful and biblically based about it. In this way, go back to the past and remember things that God said. And you circled that verse, you even dated it, or somebody said, you know what, the Lord laid this verse upon me and I give to you. And you go home and you look at that. And you read that verse and it was exactly what you needed to hear out of all of the zillions of verses in the Bible. It was the one that you needed to hear for that moment. Have you ever had that happen to you? I had that happen to me today. That's why I'm bringing it up right now. It happened to me today. And I got to tell you, it was awesome. Don't tell anybody, but I was listening to one of the pastors teaching. Well, it was Don McClure. He was speaking at the conference, and he was just going in the book of Habakkuk, and he's teaching along, and everyone else is looking completely normal. And I'm sitting there, and I tell you, out of Don's mouth, God, it wasn't even Don anymore. It was speaking to my heart, right? This morning, I got up this morning, and I asked the Lord to speak some things to me because I was discouraged. And I... said, Lord, you're going to do whatever you want to do. You've never listened to my opinion. But I'm just asking if you might be so kind. I need help. And I'm a really stubborn person. I just don't receive help from people. I mean, I don't mean it this way. If you came up and said, I'll give you a verse of encouragement, Pastor. That's very sweet. I'm just very stubborn. It's just like water off a duck's back. I have a problem. I should receive that from you. I'm just very stubborn. He's God, he can talk to me. And I'm firm about that. So I'm not moving until you say something. And I got to tell you, so I got up, went to the conference, sat there, and then Don gets up and he starts speaking, and God just goes like this. And I'm sitting there, and I mean, nobody knew, but I was just bawling like a baby. And it was so amazing. Lisa called me, how's it going? It was me and God. It wasn't even Don. It was me and God, just me and God. There's no way that Don would have known that. No way. Exactly what I needed to hear in the moment. I needed, and I had gone long enough. I needed encouragement. Months had gone by, and this morning, that's it, Lord. I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'm not turning back. I'm hanging in there. I just need to hear from you. You might be so kind. I know you're spinning Jupiter and Mars out there. It would be awesome. Just asking. If you don't, I'm still going to go with you. All right, to whom shall I go? You alone are the words of eternal life. So, sink or swim. Amen. Have a nice day, God. I'll see you at the conference. And clearly the Lord said, okay, yeah, I'll see you at the conference. And I'm telling you, man, I'm like, oh. And then later I saw Don and I said, Don, I got to tell you. Oh. And he said, call me next week. The living God talks like that to you in the moment. And if you're saying, oh, I wish that would happen to me, it's going to happen to you. But listen, he does it on his time. His time. By the way, what time is it? My phone died. I don't know what time. We have to end. No, give me 2 minutes. Oh. Verses 11 to 13. Things that are impossible is that salvation is available to the worst of us. Listen to what he says. Oh my goodness. Calling a bird of prey from the east. Okay, he's talking about Cyrus. We're not going to talk about him tonight. We've talked about him before. God is prophesying. The man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I will also do it. God is talking about the Israel's going to go into captivity into Babylon. They're going to be there 70 years, but God is going to send in 150 years from the moment of this prophecy, God's going to send them a guy that's not even born yet. His name's Cyrus, and it was written down in the prophet Isaiah 150 years in advance. Watch, that's cool, but that's not the point. Verse 12, listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. Listen, my salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in where? Zion for Israel, my glory. Wow. This prophecy, nearly 3,000 years old, announces nearly 1,000 years in advance, 720 years in advance, look to Zion, look to Jerusalem. There, salvation will be brought to you. God prophesies that. It's fulfilled in the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And God is announcing, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. That's why Satan hates it. Keep your eyes on Israel, God says. That's why Satan hates Israel. And you know what? I've just decided this also. That's why Satan hates history. That's why there's revisionists in the world and redefiners, right? And people who don't want to study history. Well, I looked that up. Where'd you look it up? Wikipedia. It's so wonderful as a Christian to say, why don't you take whatever the topic is and research it as far back in human history as you can, and then you're getting close to the truth. Take everything and anything as far back as you can. Don't let it end with a keystroke or the move of your mouse. Dig, 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 and dig. And you know what? You will find all of the idols bowed down in the dirt, dead, dusty, and an archaeological discovery. And you have the living God who, from eternity, the sands of time have passed, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you for you. We praise you for you, God. You are so, and you're so awesome, and you're so precious that you would communicate to us that, Lord, even tonight, the worst of us as sinners, you say, my righteousness shall come near you. Look to Zion. What an invitation. If anyone in this room is discouraged, let them hear this. You gave that invitation to a stubborn people. And when Jesus came and when John the Baptist came, when the disciples went out preaching, they were told to announce the kingdom of God has come near you. So Lord, tonight may all of us reaffirm our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Judge, the Branch, the Bread of Life, the Alpha and the Omega, the Door. Lord, we worship you tonight. We thank you for sending us Jesus, who, if tonight we say, Lord, thank you for dying for me on the cross, being resurrected from the dead, my Savior, who died in my place, took my penalty of death and judgment, paid the price to bestow upon me that which I could never earn or have, nor would I ever be worthy to receive. But by your free gift, you give us eternal life to all of us who realize we are the worst of sinners, but you are the greatest among the gods of men. You alone live forever, and that you've invited us to live forever with you. Praise you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Things That Are Impossible, Part 2. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And you know, we all have our stubborn moments, but when it comes to salvation, let's allow God to melt our hardened hearts and give us his peace. Things That Are Impossible, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with the way the world is going, do you often think about heaven and what it's going to be like? We often think of heaven when life seems to stretch us beyond our limits or when it's exhausting just to get up in the morning. But have you really done a study on heaven? We do get a glimpse of heaven in the Bible, many mansions, the streets of gold. But what else is there to discover about heaven? Well, December's book of the month will give you a thorough biblical answer. It's simply called Heaven, and it's written by Randy Alcorn. This engaging and reader-friendly study will stretch your thinking, and his conclusions just might surprise you. Again, December's book of the month, it's called Heaven, written by Randy Alcorn. It makes a great gift for someone you know who could use a little inspiration this Christmas, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.